All right, guys.
We all were like, quiet. Wait, what?
Yeah. Meat killed by an Australian in Texas. Now, if that's not a good enough reason to listen to this podcast, I don't know what else is. Oh, she's going to cook it too. Jess Browse, right here, live in studio with us. Let's go. So you're listening to the Day Tripper Podcast. I'm Chet Garner. I've got Todd White, my co-host here.
Howdy, howdy.
But then back in the studio with us, Miss Jess Pryles.
We got lucky.
The hardcore carnivore herself.
Two times in a row.
I'm the lucky one.
Oh, you stop.
I don't know.
Keep coming.
Myself an amazing t-shirt, though.
Hey,
I'm super happy about this.
Oh, I'm glad.
Mine's
so
better.
Everybody loves my original one about the fire, whiskey, meat, and repeat shirt. People love that. I wear that to country concerts all the time, and a lot of the stars I shoot with absolutely die over that shirt.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's amazing. And then my new one says, steak and bourbon, a complete meal. Thank you very much.
It's true. It's true.
Thank you, Jess.
To give you an idea of Jess Prowl's fame, she actually designed and has a barbecue pit named after her. The Jess Prowl's Edition.
Made in Texas, of course.
I mean, that is just awesome.
Thank you.
And so I watched all the videos about your pit. I don't own a barbecue pit because I don't have 18 hours on a Saturday to go sit around.
Wait, you don't have a barbecue pit?
Well, I mean, I've got a charcoal grill, but like a smoker? No. No.
But I get that. You live near so much great barbecue, it's hard to justify.
It's hard to say, like, I
would
shoot Saturday and a half smoking a brisket whatever. I just can't do it. And, like, even, you know, what gets used most? Propane grill. I mean, I know that's like a faux pas to say.
But look,
I've got four little kids. I don't have time to go start the charcoal stack, you know, then wait 30 minutes for it to come home. Like, the way it usually works is I get home after work, Laura's handing me a rack of sausage or steak, and she's like, get your grill hot. It's got to go on, like, right now, because the kids are tearing the house apart.
See, it sounds like I just need to work with Laura on how to light a grill.
If she could, please do. That's a good idea.
Like,
I had this vision.
I had this vision
of you coming home from work and Laura hands you a tray of, like, steak and a baby with a wet diaper. It says, go forth and be a dad.
It's happened before. My wife is a saint, but, like, that's the witching hour. When they're hungry, I'm not home from work yet. Oh, it's bad news.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not what we're talking. We're not talking about fatherdom.
We're talking about the city of Tomball.
We're talking about the city of Tomball. Yes, who sponsored this podcast. And so, anyway, thank you to those guys. Of course, we couldn't do a podcast without them. Please, look, in November, the holidays are going to be kicking off. And then, here's what's happening in December. This sounds really fun. Mm-hmm. German Christmas Market, a traditional Christmas festival for families on Commerce Street. So what do they call that? The Markenspiel? No, that kind of name. Chris Kindle Market something.
Chris Kringle.
No. Chris, yeah, well, kind of. I don't
sort
remember.
Of?
There's a very fancy name for it.
There's probably
going to
be pretzels, so you should go.
Oh, there will be pretzels, and there'll be beer.
Yes.
Warm, festive beer.
In a stein.
Maybe like spiced beer.
Mead.
Yes, arr. Yeah.
Arr.
That was a pirate. That's not even German. All right.
Yarr?
So, all right. But what we're talking about with Jess today, all right, it's November. It's hunting season in full swing here in Texas, and I wanted to have her on as a resident expert on all things, not just hunting, but what you do with the deer that you kill. So, you know, I am not opposed at all with killing animals for food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I go hunting. I grew up in a big family of hunters, and as long as you're eating it, I got no problem with hunting. But let's jump in. So we're talking specifically about wild game.
Yes.
Wild game, hunting, and cooking. So people see wild game. How do you define wild game, Jess?
I define wild game as low fence, so something that's not penned in. And,
okay.
You know, power to you to do whatever you want. For me, that is an animal that has a hunting season because it needs culling, and then you use the meat for meaty purposes. So
use the meat for meaty purposes as opposed to other non-meat related purposes. Like, ooh, I don't know.
Like a Lady Gaga dress, for example.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
thank
true.
You.
True. Very
Take
good.
That, yeah.
Chess. I was like, man, I got told.
I like her like low fence. I like that.
Well, yeah. our ranch where we hunt is low fence. Mm. I mean, once you high fence something in, first off, you got to have a good bit of land to do it.
Right.
And then you're really kind of raising them to be harvested. You know, you start giving them high protein feed, and then it becomes more of a science. To.
Yeah, it just becomes more of a sport, and it becomes more about the trophy. I'm not opposed to getting a trophy buck in the wild, but for me personally, my comfort zone is low fence, completely wild animal. I'm happy using feeders because that animal can still come and go freely and doesn't necessarily use the feeders.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure you've had days when you've been out there waiting and it's like, where are y'all?
Oh yeah, the corn spills and you're like, okay, that didn't work at all.
That squirrel is getting fat.
Yeah, yeah. Very fat.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, okay, low fence.
What about y'all? How do you find wild game?
At my nearest restaurant.
That's time.
Which is still an option.
I never shot an animal in my entire life.
Not like a bird or a squirrel or like...
Well, yeah, but I was trying to save the people from the inhumane things with a BB gun that I do. Or I've done.
Wait, what? What? Explain that one.
Did you eat the squirrel, Todd?
No.
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 Oh, Todd.
No. These are like backyard pests that are bugging me and digging holes in my yard, and I went outside and shot an armadillo in the face because he was digging my flower garden up.
Oh, wow. Wow, Todd, you're coming out on the worst side of this podcast right here.
Why did you ask me?
In fairness, I don't think you can eat them because of the leprosy, right?
So. I've been told that. I had to play with them, and then I've known people who've had
armadillos
as pets.
I had a possum screwing around with my deck and terrorizing my dogs. I took it out with a pellet gun.
Yeah.
I threw it over the fence. I was like, buzzard buffet. I mean, come on.
Oh, no. How did we end up here? What are we doing? Let's talk
about you asked me about shooting animals.
Todd, we appreciate the brutal honesty.
Yeah,
I'm going to cut all this out just so you know.
No, you can't. You can't. The people deserve to know the real time. I'm amazed you have a gun, though. You got a BB gun? Pellet gun?
Pellet gun.
Okay, yep. Got it. Cool. Mm-hmm. So
you shoot your eye out. Just kidding.
I've grown up hunting, you know, Texan. So it's all feeders. It's deer.
Yeah.
We've hunted squirrels and rabbits on occasion.
Wild hog.
Eat them. You know, I've hunted wild hog once on the show. That's it. Because in East Texas, where we were from, you couldn't really go around in the marsh and get the wild hogs.
It was
absolute, miserable experience. And so we didn't do that. So in East Texas, I know some people who have hog problems. I've gone and helped them. Didn't grow up doing it. I've only done it once in night vision. It was awesome. Oh, it was awesome. I'm waiting to do the helicopter machine gun hog hunting. That's another podcast.
Is that fair?
Hey.
They need to be eradicated. They're a big problem for Texas ranchers.
Like my backyard possum and armadillo. I'm just kind of circling back to justify.
Oh, he's trying.
Introduce species that needs to be taken out.
I love it. Taken out.
It's true.
Back to the German side.
They really are. It's true. They really are a nuisance. Yeah, wild hogs. A big problem. If we can find a way to use the meat more effectively or get it to market more effectively somehow. Anyway, but that's another issue completely.
There's a restaurant here in Georgetown that's actually serving wild boar nachos.
Mm.
Really? I think to serve it, though, it has to be farm-raised, right? So technically, it is farm-raised wild boar, which wild
I don't see clarification. I was just happy to see that on the menu.
Yeah, okay, cool. But anyway. So we're talking wild game. And so let's run through the list of what would be considered wild game in Texas. Deer?
Deer for sure. Hog. You've got chakalaka.
Chakalaka.
Chachalaka, I think. I don't know. I saw it once on the list of Texas huntable things, and it was exciting.
Is that next to the chupacabra?
I think it's a bird in
South
Texas.
It is a bird. It's a chakalaka.
Yeah. Isn't that a great name?
It's the best name.
Of course, you have other bird seasons. You've got dove is out first opening hunting season. But for me, it's deer is where it kind of starts and ends. Yes.
Okay, yeah.
A turkey, of course.
Sure.
But deer is the biggest one. When you talk about going hunting in Texas, you're pretty much talking about going hunting whitetail.
Deer.
Uh-huh.
Deer and dove are the two that normally come up when I'm with friends. Their freezer's full of something, it's going to be deer It's gonna be deer. Doves don't take up a lot of space in a freezer. But if they're cooking something, dove or quail a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I've had quail. I've not had dove.
So,
dove's
good.
Never had dove.
Dove breast is excellent.
Dove like breast quail. Is excellent. Quail's good.
Yeah, they're very similar. So,
did you
hunt? Tastes like chicken. No, not really.
To Utah, yeah, they taste like chicken. Now, did you hunt before you came to Texas?
Not at all. Australia has pretty strict gun laws, and I was from a city of 5 million people. I was a super urban girl, yeah. So I wasn't really exposed to it. But when I got here and you know, do this whole the hardcore carnivore thing, I felt sort of a responsibility because I would drive past, you know, see little fawn and be like, oh, cute, so cute. And I thought, I'm really going to have to, like, woman up and do this at least once to prove to myself if I'm going to be an advocate for meat. So I went out with Marvin Mendeley, who's the president of, the director of Food Waste Texas.
Uh-huh. I know Marvin.
Yeah, really, really cool. They record the oral histories of food in Texas. And we went to his family's ranch, and they sort of taught me everything. And I had never, until I planned to go, even picked up a rifle. And I did, I guess, what a lot of people wouldn't do, and went to a range with my friend in advance and said, like, show me what I'm doing and have me get good at
it. No, that's what you should do. That's the smart thing to do.
Yeah, but I don't think a lot of people would. Because my priority was making sure that my shot was right and that animal was going to be dispatched as humanely as I could manage.
And quickly.
Yeah.
I love that word,
quick,
dispatched.
Swift meeting with the end.
When I wrote an article about my first time hunting, and I actually wrote, like, I killed the deer. I didn't harvest it. I didn't dispatch it. I killed it, and I'm cool with that because I used it all. So
yeah.
So what's really interesting that's happened is I've gone from, you know, not hunting at all to being really into it and love the challenge. One of my favorite parts is actually breaking it down. I know a lot of people drop it off at processes. Yeah. I really like that part, and I love the challenge of having taking this animal myself, and now how can I use it to its max potential?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I got taught, and I'm sure y'all, especially growing up, like, usually it's take the back straps, and then how much jerky and how much ground meat do you want, and do you want chili grind or do you want burger grind?
Yeah, you get a little list with a checkbox.
Right.
You know, and here's your processing fee, and it's about $75, mm-hmm. $65, and then you move down the list. If you want the back strap, you check the box, and of course everybody wants the back strap, mm-hmm. and then it turns into, well, how many pounds, how much of it do you want turned into chili meat, mm-hmm. or ground meat, and then how much you want turned into sausage.
You're making
sausage
me hungry.
Has always an upcharge.
I'm getting hungry.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah,
am.
Yeah. Sausage always has an upcharge because you are mixing it with pork and spices, and it takes a little more manpower. So you pay by the pound. Not that cheap, really, but deer sausage is good, so everybody gets deer sausage. But, you know, growing up, my family was like, oh no, deer sausage is too expensive. So we'd have backstrap, a couple.
But you said that they cut the backstrap up, right?
No, we would always get the full backstrap. Oh yes, no, we would have the full backstrap, but this is what we did. The only way we cooked it was to basically turn it into medallions, batter it, and deep fry it. So it'd be deep fried backstrap.
I mean, I do support anything fried in general, just as a blanket statement, but I keep all my backstraps whole and fillet them out, stuff them usually with like pecan, cranberry, like brown butter, kind of breadcrumbs. And it is the most unbelievable and tender meat when cooked correctly, especially when you stuff it. And
so you're roasting it.
So you pan sear it, you stuff it, pan sear it, and then finish it. The whole thing takes, speaking of getting food ready quickly, getting dinner ready quickly, I mean, I would say 5 minutes sear in the pan, another 10 minutes max in the oven, you're eating.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have to, of course, harvest the cranberries and then dry the cranberries.
And speak to them gently.
This is good advice. And this is one of the things I wanted to get you on the podcast for, is to talk a little bit about how many variations they are. Because I'm not kidding. Like, cooking deer in my house was chicken fried backstrap or deer chili.
I think it's important, you know, I'm not trying to come in and say you're doing it wrong. I have a tremendous amount of respect for the traditional way that people, you know, that you do make chili out of it. And I think you will still get ground meat out of a deer no matter how well you trim it down. But there's really cool things you can do with it. So, for example, shanks. For the memories.
For the memories.
Wow.
So when you cook a shank, just like when you do...
Anyway.
The pun game is getting strong. I must focus.
So deer shanks are something that you can then... I've done them where I've smoked them and then braised them in coffee and stout, and they break down like barbacoa meat.
Wait, go back.
Gelatin.
Coffee and stout.
Uh-huh.
Coffee, and then stout beer.
Yes.
You keep the rack together?
The shank is the leg.
Okay, so you end up with a big old...
So you take the ham out.
Pork shanks. Never mind. Ham shanks. I'm thinking of the anatomy of a deer in my brain.
Yep.
Okay, so you get the shank.
So it's usually the
front shoulder, back shoulder. It's the front.
Usually, yeah, well, either, but the back are a little bit bigger.
Okay.
Just like the hams at the back are bigger. So usually you would, use that whole ham at the back and then just say, that's going straight to grind because there's so many tendons and what have you. And I just use a Sawzall, take it out, French it. Looks like something that belongs in a butcher shop window. And when you break that down, it just like with a brisket, the reason everyone loves brisket is because it has a lot of natural collagen, and when you cook it properly, it breaks down into gelatin, which is all that funky, smooth deliciousness.
Yeah, it's like the butter between everything. Yeah,
it's meat butter.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
Better.
Yeah.
So
the better butter is meat butter. You heard it first.
So, shanks will break down the same way.
Okay, so it's unfortunate, but like. Literally, if it wasn't the backstrap, it was going to get turned into chili meat.
Mm.
So you found kind of other parts of the deer that are like actually worth eating on their own.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's other things too, like you keep the rib cage, especially if you don't want to cut the intercostal. So the intercostals are that little piece of meat that connects the ribs together.
Okay.
Not actually sits on the ribs, it just connects them. And a lot of people don't, find it annoying to cut that away for ground meat. But I leave that on, I roast them in the oven till they brown, and then I turn that into stock. So I get venison broth or venison stock, and you can make like gallons of it and just keep it in your freezer.
For then doing what with? Vegetable soup or like?
Yeah, I mean, think about making chicken and dumplings, but instead of just chicken stock, like adding a little bit of venison in there for a punch of flavor, venison stock. So.
Nah, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Story.
Like. Why have we not done venison and dumplings? Or like, why is there not?
I have.
What? Oh, I knew there was a reason we had you on here. Good?
Yeah, so we took the whole neck.
Okay.
Which is usually another pain to seam out, and you can't get nice big pieces out of there.
Yeah.
And I smoked it, and then I then used it, so it was nice and brown and smoky, and then I turned it into stock. So once it got soft enough, I got to pick all the meat out, which was now nice and really tender.
Okay.
And finished making the rest of the broth into stock, fish the vegetables out and what have you. And then put the, just like you make chicken and dumplings from scratch, put the meat back in, drop the dumplings in to cook, added a little bit of carrot and celery and
boom.
Yeah. I mean,
that sounds great.
It's delicious.
So, I think a lot of people just drop it off at their local processor. One, it's easy, it's clean, but I've always wondered if you get back the same meat you drop off. Right?
Yeah, a lot of people have that fascination, they shortchanged me, or this isn't the deer I dropped off. Yeah. Mine would have been far superior
tasting. My buck was 300 pounds. Why do I have 50 pounds of meat?
Right. Yeah. And at the end of the day, honestly, $65 to do that is not a lot of money to get all that back. So
yeah.
I understand.
That's for basic processing. If you want anything beyond, it's all upcharge.
Right.
So by the end of the day, for a meat, price, cost to meat ratio, not that cost effective.
Which is also why you should have a go at doing yourself. And honestly, if you're field dressing correctly, that's the most dangerous part in terms of contamination. So if you're doing a good job in getting the nose to tail out correctly.
Oh yeah.
As it were.
Nose and tail complete.
Yeah. So you you probably are because you understand the importance of that. And you don't pierce the gut, which, you shouldn't be doing because it's horrible. I've never done it.
No, that's not even something my family really tries to avoid.
Really?
They just stab it and rip it down, and it is the most awful smell you can imagine.
But they don't pierce the stomach. Surely.
The knife is indiscretion. or discretionary. I don't know. There you go. The knife is indiscriminate. I mean, it's just like you're all the way down. I mean, it's a stank that you've never smelled in your life. It's awful.
That cavity will smell even if you don't pierce the stomach, but the problem when you
and
do
just pierce
is,
the bladder too, and that's not
that's,
that good.
So now you're dealing with contamination. So the point is this. I firmly encourage you to have a go at processing your own deer if you take out, if you field dress and if you take out the guts correctly. And once you've done that, then the only thing you need to remember is one hand on the fur, one hand on the knife. Your hand on the knife is sterile because it only touches meat and the knife. The hand that touches fur should not touch the meat. And if you follow that, you're good.
Good. Okay, yeah. Contamination free.
Yeah.
In theory, right? But that, you know, wild
also,
game is
what... can I put a disclaimer on the top? Just
for us, not responsible for your foodborne illness. And
how do you sterilize the hand? You're saying
you don't really have to sterilize the hand. It's just that if you skin it, you're gonna hold on to the skin with one hand, and the other hand's gonna have a knife.
So
you
don't
want to
touch.
Right. You don't want to use if your left hand for skinning, you don't want to then use that to touch the non-skin part because now you're introducing contaminant.
Barbecue people are very clear too. You know, like meat hand, clean hand, dirty hand. Mm-hmm. You know, from the only the clean hand touches the rub bottles.
If you've ever had a great bout of food poisoning,
that's
you will only make that mistake once.
Oh, you seem like you're saying that from personal experience, Jess.
What happens in Mexico? No, I'm kidding.
I got a story about that, but I'll save that for another podcast.
That's great.
So, okay, favorite recipes right now for deer.
You know, I really do think that stuffed backstrap is just a favorite because a lot of people just don't know what a king of meats it is. I've served it to Texans who have eaten venison their whole life, and they're like, wow, this is kind of a showstopper.
Yeah.
But really, it's any recipe that uses the ground meat in a different way. So whether it's a savory cherry and venison strudel to...
What?
Yeah, spinach ricotta and venison stuffed shells to... Like, there's so many ways you can use it. Get excited.
Well, you had me earlier at the coffee and the stout.
Yeah.
The flavor.
Ah, man. And we're doing it so wrong. It's chili. You eat deer chili. And that's really where the menu starts and stops. And then deer sausage. Like, that's it. We've been doing this so wrong. But, you know, you think back, like, Texans for generations who were didn't have the option of dropping it off at the local processor. They were probably using that the same as they were using any of the other meats that
Absolutely.
They broke down themselves and, you know, cleaned and processed. And so they probably didn't make that much difference between whether this, you know, meat pie had venison or beef in it.
That's right.
So
it was as long as we're eating tonight, I'm
guessing.
That's
a pretty good deal. Yeah. Right. Well, that's cool. So, okay, where can people find all your great recipes, Jess?
You can find my great recipes. It's on my website at jesspryles.com, P-R-Y-L-E-S. And there's a bunch there you can use. You can actually go in. I've got new filters, and you can filter by venison protein and get all the recipes right there.
She's fancy.
I like that.
She fancy.
YouTube channel as well?
YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all of the medias.
All of the social,
the social meds.
Do
you have a video on how to properly field dress a deer?
I don't yet, and it's only because you know, y'all know how it is. Like, you have to take a crew out and get a great, you don't always get deer is the other thing, but I've been so focused on actually prepping and just enjoying them in the moment that I haven't done one yet, but I am working on it because a lot of folks
You gotta go through a few before you feel super comfortable.
I'll volunteer to go out with you and film that if you have the urge, the need, or the opportunity.
Yeah, I have all of those coming up soon.
I will completely, like, go out there and shoot that. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, we got one coming up.
Yeah. Todd, you're going to barf, dude. You're going to barf right in the middle all over your nice, pretty camera.
Thank you for that vote of confidence. I appreciate that.
I'm just kidding. Last time we were at this place, actually, we hung the deer in the tree overnight because I got it at dark, and it was cold enough that it could sit there, right?
Uh-huh.
So we gutted it and just hung it, and I remember doing this, like, little Snapchat story or something where I'm just walking by flashlight, towards this carcass in the tree, and I'm like, I think you would really enjoy that, Todd.
That's wow. I think, Todd, I think hanging carcasses.
Was there Wi-Fi? Of course it was. It was Snapchat. Never mind. We're good.
One of the things I love so much about hunting is quiet.
Yeah.
So nice. You kind of watch the sunrise. And I prefer hunting at sunrise. It's because then if you get a deer, you're not cleaning it by car headlights, which I've done a few times. Exactly. And it's not that fun. Mm-hmm. But then the evening is much easier to go out at 5, 4:30, than sit there through dusk. But then you actually get a deer, you're dealing with hanging carcasses in trees.
Yes.
Is it cold enough? Will this thing spoil? Is it above the reach of the coyotes?
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. All kinds of fun stuff.
Real first world problems.
Coyotes?
Yeah.
I'm out. I'm kidding.
Well, hopefully this has inspired all of you guys to maybe go out hunting on your own, but most certainly find someone else that's hunting. Maybe you can educate them. Maybe have some fun cooking deer or other wild game this season, because deer season is upon us, you know, and deer chili is delicious, but hey, maybe there's other stuff to do. Jess Prowse thinks so.
I do.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, guys. So the city of Tomball is having their German market. I don't know how that ties into wild game at all, but you guys will enjoy it. Germans love wild game,
they
by the way.
They love it. They love making it into smoked sausage.
That's right. Yeah. That's best the smoked sausage.
And I'm sure you could enjoy it in the Tomball.
We got to have you back, Jess. This is too much fun. All right. Day Tripper General Store, a place to support the show, the podcast. Our next episode, we'll be talking Texas for December. Anyway, thanks everybody for joining us. Be safe out there during hunting season. Hopefully y'all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And for me, Vicom Dios.
Adios, folks.
See you later, mate.